we're going to begin. Okay, we know in chapter 24, we got it's called Isaac and Rebecca. And here is Dead Sea, Jordan, Galilee. They're staying down in here in Beersheba, down in this area here, and sometimes down further in the Negev. And they've gone up to Euphrates, Tigris. They've gone up here into by Haran. And Eliezer, it's Abraham's servant, Eliezer, has gone up to get a wife for Isaac. We found out, just the concept was that he's not just going to take a donkey up there, right up there, and find a woman. He's going to go up there, and he's going up there to promote his master, Abraham. And we're going to find out these people have a lot more stuff than I think any of us probably have. He's got camels that are loaded with merchandise, products, things to impress the family and the bride. He's selling Abraham. They've never seen Abraham and his family, but he's got to make the sale. We're going to find out that he's got men traveling with him. And he's going to meet Rebecca right there. Amazing. He goes up there to find this family, and he pulls in, and she's the first one they meet, which is amazing, except for the fact that Abraham said down here, no, he says, the angel of the Lord will go in front of you, and he'll prepare the way. Because remember, the servant, or Eliezer, it says, what happens if she won't come back? Should I take Isaac up there? And that's when Abraham says, watch it. Or it's like, that's not even an option. Watch what you're saying. I didn't spend my whole life preparing and then just to give up and have Isaac go up here. No, Isaac is staying here. The promise will continue. But he says, the Lord's going to make the way. And then he did release Eliezer. He said, Eliezer, if it doesn't work out, you can come back home. You don't need to stay there yourself. We're going to find out tonight that when Rebecca comes back, her father's going to give her Deborah. Can't spell Deborah, I'll just write Deb. Give her Deborah, who is her nurse. And so, she's the one that just takes care of her. And then as they begin to leave, they're going to mention a couple times, the girls got ready and left. And who are the girls? Those are her handmaidens. So when this Rebecca that's coming back down here is not just, some teenage girl, chewing bubble gum, coming down here to find a husband. She's leaving with an entourage, per se. And she herself is, got some substance of herself. Okay, here we go. Let's go to verse 24, and I'm going to begin reading. Thank you for listening to me rant and rave here this evening. We're in both. I was meaning both. That's a good observation. Chapter 24, verse 24. This may get cut out of the video, so don't be going online saying, hey, tell all your friends, you got to see this because I may cut that out of the video. It just depends on what I think because I don't want my ship to sink. Okay, verse 24. Okay, she answered him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the son Milcah bore to Nahor. We talked about all the genealogy last week. And she added, we have plenty of straw and fodder as well as room for you to spend the night. Again, they're going to bring all these camels over to her place. We got room for all these camels and we can feed them. We're prepared. Then the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord. And we don't have his name here yet, but it's probably Eliezer because that's who Abraham referred to earlier in the book. But we don't know for sure. Maybe it's changed. Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relative. I just talk about the things we talk about. This guy's excited about the faithfulness of the Lord. The Lord is working a plan, and they're trying to stay with it. And God is showing himself faithful. The girl ran and told her mother's household about all these things. Now, Rebekah had a brother named Laban. And, you don't want to forget Laban. He's going to be the father-in-law of Jacob coming up here. And he hurried out to the man at the spring. So Laban comes out to meet the servant, Eliezer. As soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's arm and had heard Rebekah tell what the man said to her, he went out to the man and found him standing by the camels near the spring. So remember, Rebekah comes in, I got a guy here who wants to come over for the evening, and she's loaded with jewelry. It's like, oh, where'd you get this from? The guy out there at the camels. What other stuff he's got on his camels? So he comes out, Laban says, typical Laban fashion, come, you who are blessed by the Lord, he says. Why are you standing out here? I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. He always talks about himself. Verse 32. So the man went to the house, and the camels were unloaded. Straw and fodder were brought for the camels, and water for him and his men to wash their feet. So there's again the men that came with him. And then the food was set before him, and he says, I will not eat until I've told you what I have to say. Then tell us, Laban said. And notice how the brother's kind of doing the speaking. You're kind of in charge of his sister. So he said, now he's going to recount the whole thing. I'm going to read through it fairly quickly, but he's going to recount his perspective of what has just taken place. And any time in the scriptures you have, you know, Abraham tells him what to do, and then the narrator tells you how it happened, and now then someone comes back and recites what just took place. It's like, well, you better pay attention, because they've just said the same thing three times, and we could skip through this. You know, it's a big book, but it's not that big. But we're going to repeat it again. So he says, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver, gold, men servants and maid servants, and camels and donkeys. My master's wife, Sarah, has borne him a son in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns. And my master made me swear an oath and says, you must not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live. Again, probably the reason for that is not that they're wicked and stinky. It's that if that happens, you're in their neighborhood and you'll just be absorbed into their culture. You know what I'm saying? They'll just, in a matter of one or two generations, Isaac and his family are Canaanites. Is that we're a unique group. We can't just blend into this culture. Again, that's why. It's not because they're evil. It's because Abraham's got friends. He's got covenant partners. He's got people that he's working with among the Canaanites. It's not that they're all evil. Even the Lord says their sin is not yet full. They still got four generations or 400 years, and that's a long time for sin to develop. So some of these guys are very righteous. Some of these guys are believers. Melchizedek is one of the Canaanites, and he's the priest of God. So again, don't think that this entire Canaanite culture is corrupt. They're going to be corrupt, but not yet. But that's not the reason. I think it's God wants a unique culture. Okay. But go to my father's family and to my own clan to get a wife for my son. Then I asked my master, what if the woman will not come back with me? He replied, the Lord before whom I have walked his whole life will send his angel with you and make your journey a success. Again, you can say the same thing about certain things in your life. You know what has taken place. As you've walked through life with the Lord, it gives you more confidence. It's like, well, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen, but I'm pretty sure the Lord is going to continue, again, not guaranteeing that you know exactly what's going to happen, but the Lord will be faithful on this end too. And that's what he's saying. My master's walked with him all his whole life. He knows what to expect, and this is a big deal for him. It's even a bigger deal for the Lord. I'm sure the angel of the Lord will be there to take care of this. He says, I have walked, the Lord before whom I have walked, he's quoting Abraham now, will send his angel with you and make your journey a success so that you can get a wife for my son from my own clan and from my father's family. Then when you go to my clan, you will be released from my oath. Even if they refuse to give her to you, you will be released from my oath. Verse 42, when I came to the spring today, I said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey on which I have come. See, I am standing beside this spring. If a maiden comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please let me drink a little water from your jar. And if she says to me, drink and I'll draw water for your camels too, let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son. Before I finish praying, notice what he says, before I finish praying, in my heart, so that was something he said in his heart, just kind of looking around, and you've done that before, just kind of pray, you know, on your feet, you know, just, you know, while you're standing thinking. Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water, and I said to her, please give me a drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. I asked her, whose daughter are you? She says, the daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whom Milcah bore to him. Then I put the ring in her nose and the bracelets on her arms, and I bowed down and worshiped the Lord. Now, all of a sudden, that private prayer, that silent prayer, has now become a demonstration of worship. I praise the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. He knows exactly who, the genealogy knows exactly who she is. Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me. And if not, tell me so I may know which way to turn. In other words, I want a yes or no. I'm here to take her back to Isaac. I don't want to eat until you know what I've come for. Now, before we eat, you tell me, is this a deal or not? Laban and Bethuel answered. Very interesting. They say, this is from the Lord. So apparently they know the Lord also, you see. This is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. This is God working. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. Now, Tony mentioned this when we talk after class. We're going out afterwards. She says, it's just hard to imagine. Notice right here. This is from the Lord. We can say nothing. Hey, we don't have an opinion of this at all. This is the Lord. Take her and go. Now, again, the question is, who didn't get asked? It's, you know, Rebekah. It's just kind of amazing in our culture, you know, that this is the way it is. It's like they're saying, well, this is our decision, but I think this is on the Lord's shoulders right now. She's going. But they're going to eventually talk to her. She's going to speak up. And let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. When Abraham's servant heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. Again, hasn't eaten yet. He's still excited about this working. Then the servant brought out gold and silver jewelry and articles of clothing. Again, he's starting to unload the camels. And gave them to Rebekah. He also gave costly gifts to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night there. Then they eat and drink. So again, he's unloading these camels. And again, he's bringing out some fine stuff. Not stuff from the gift shop. You know, he's bringing out the best. When they got up the next morning, he says, now watch this. This is something that happens you see it throughout the ancient culture of people wanting to leave, and then they beg them to stay another day. And then, you know, it's like it's hospitality to leave, but then you beg them to stay. But this time, he says, send me on my way to my master. But her brother, that'd be Laban, and her mother replied, let the girl remain with us 10 days or so, and then you may go. Again, that 10 days or so. It's kind of like, no. But he said to them, do not detain me now that the Lord has granted success to my journey. Send me on my way so I may go to my master. Then they says, let's call the girl and ask her about it. Now Rebekah's going to get to speak. So they called Rebekah and asked her, will you go with this man? I will go, she said. So they sent their sister Rebekah on her way along with her nurse, and that's Deborah. And Deborah, just so you know, Deborah is going to be buried just outside of Bethel by the palm tree of Deborah. And that is, by the oak of Deborah, the oak of weeping. And that is where Deborah is going to have court, just in the same area by the palm tree of Deborah. So you kind of begin to wonder, when Deborah's up there by the palm tree, if it's not going back to this tomb of this Deborah. The two names, and they're right there, the two trees, right outside of Bethel, between Bethel and Ramah. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, and here's their blessing, our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands, and she has. May your offspring possess the gates of their enemies, and they have at different times in history. Verse 61, then Rebekah and her maids, and that would include Deborah and all the girls, got ready and mounted their camels. They've all got their own camels. And went, they're not riding, you know, two or three on a camel. They've all got their own camels. They're moving on down. And went back with the man. So the servant took Rebekah and left. Now, the focus is on Rebekah, but I want you to see that picture of here comes this prominent woman with her nurse. That's her taking care of her health reasons and all the things that take care of her. And then all the girls that attend to her, help her with her hair and all the things that girls need taken care of. I mean, it's just a different culture, you know. I mean, this is just completely, and it's a different image sometimes than what you get. Now, Isaac, so we've got two very wealthy families, and this is what marriage was about, was uniting families and inheritance. Now, Isaac had come from Beer Lahi, which, again, is further down south or towards Egypt. That's where Hagar had gone with Ishmael. So he's coming up from Beer Lahi Roy, for he was living in the Negev. He went out in the field one evening, and my Bible says to meditate. Some would say pray. That Hebrew word is hard to define, but he goes out into the field in the evening. And again, like I say, that Hebrew word, they don't have that pinned down. So they put meditate. Sometimes it means pray. You can see, if I got that footnote in my Bible saying the meaning of the Hebrew word is uncertain. And as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. So he's going off in the wilderness. He sees camels coming his way. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, who is that man in the field coming to meet us? "He is my master," the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered her face. In other words, that's a sign of the wedding. She's getting ready for there's going to be a wedding. She's, you know, he is his bride, and she's covering her face. So she hasn't had her face covered, but now because of getting ready for the wedding, it's going to be covered. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. And remember, he may have sent a letter. That's possible he could have sent a letter back saying what was taking place. But most likely, of course, Isaac's hearing the details right now. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah. Remember, Sarah had died. And so it appears that now this tent, Sarah's tent, has remained empty. You know, still taken care of. And it's been set up. And so now she comes in. So under, the idea there probably is that this is now her tent. She takes now the matriarch's tent, which again, it's Sarah's, and Abraham's very wealthy. So, I mean, this tent is a very probably elaborate tent. You know, you think tent, it's kind of like, oh, nice, you know. But it's like, it's probably very nice. Rugs and lanterns and different things. And that takes her in there. And he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Just interesting there again. He loved her. Which it's again foreign to our realm of thinking. Yeah, you've got to see her, you got to date her, you got to get to know her, and then you got to fall in love, and then you ask her to marry you. And if you don't love her, or if you are married and you don't love her anymore, then you move on to someone else that you love. Well, this right here, they don't even know each other, and they're going to fall in love. And it is interesting. It says that Isaac loved her, and then she comforted him because of the death of his mom. I mean, she replaced something in his life with the death of his mom. Very, very similar to Ephesians, where it says, husbands, love your wives, and wives, then respect your husbands. In other words, what I always teach, I'm not going to go off on a marriage seminar here by any means, but love always starts with the male. The biblical model is the man loves the woman, and the woman responds to that love with respect, with comfort, with love itself. But it starts with the man. And again, that's any kind of advice we talk to different people different times, including our sons. We always say it starts with the man loving the woman. And then, and the biblical illustration, this is very, very, feminists would not like this at all, I'm sorry. But the biblical model is the sun and the moon. The sun has the light, the moon reflects it. And I believe this with all my heart is what the love that you give the woman, the way you treat the woman, is the love you're getting back. And again, that doesn't cut women, you know, that's, they still got to be responsible for their actions and stuff. But as a man, the ideal is the way you treat the woman now, you know, and when you're 20, 25, 30, 35, is what you're getting back when you're 40, 45, 50. And if you've got a bitter old woman, it's kind of like, well, that tells you a little bit about the 20s and 30 years, the years when you were 20s and 30s and stuff like that. You understand my point right there. That's not always true, but I think that's the biblical model. The husband loves, and the woman reflects that love. They're the responder. Anyway, it puts the responsibility back on the man, and that's similar to what we see right here. And again, Ephesians says something very similar. Okay, we move on quickly. That's the second hot topic we talked about tonight. We get off that and move on to something about Abraham. Something everybody can agree on. Abraham's going to die. Okay, chapter 25. Wait, before he dies, here he goes. Abraham took another wife, Sarah had died, whose name was Keturah. Now you're going to have a list of six names of six more sons, Zimran, Joshan, Medan. Now some of these names are going to pop up, like the Midianites, and everything's going to pop out of this group, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. So when we talk about the Midianites invading, you know, in Gideon's day, that's where they come from. They're Keturah's sons through Abraham. They're like, you know, cousins, if you would, or in a sense, brothers. And what's going to take place, well, let's read on. Joshan was the father of Sheba and Dedan, and descendants of Dedan were the Ashurites and the Letushites, Lumites. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, that's how you pronounce it, Abida, there you go, Abida, and Eldiah. And then all of these were the descendants of Keturah. Now, verse 5 was really important. Abraham left everything he owned to Isaac. But while he was still living, he gave gifts to the sons of his concubines. Now, there's a couple things in here I want to point out. One, so we don't miss it, is to his, what's that concubine? Is it plural in your Bibles? Yes, there it is, his concubines. It's like, what? It says. Keturah was another wife that replaced Sarah, apparently. Hagar tried to take the role of a wife, but she was reduced back to the role of a servant. Remember that dialogue that Abraham and Sarah had. But there appears to be other concubines in the picture that had produced sons. So again, that was part of the culture, especially if you're a sheik. That just was part of the way. That doesn't mean it's right or that's not condoning that, but that was what we were doing. But also the other thing we want to look at right here is this. It says Abraham left everything he owned to Isaac. Isaac is the heir of the covenant. He's the heir of the inheritance. But the other sons were also blessed, just like Ishmael was. And it says, verse 6, while he was still living, he gave gifts to his sons and his concubines and sent them away from his son Isaac to the land of the east. He's going to send them away. Because, again, it's not hard to, you know, you got boys growing up and one lives over there and one lives over here. But just like Abraham and Lot became so plentiful that they began to have trouble amongst themselves, that Abraham called Lot aside and says, listen, we've got problems. We're becoming so big, so wealthy, that we're starting to get on each other's property. We're getting on, you know, our cattle are, you know, getting, you know, we're fighting over land, we're fighting over water. Which way do you want to go? We just got to separate so we don't have a war. So they separated. And Abraham, anticipating that all of his sons will be blessed, that they'll all be successful, takes these sons, probably sits them down and says, listen, this is where Isaac is going to live. You need to go east. Find your own place. And gave them stuff. Got them started and sent them away to the east so they wouldn't interfere. Because as they become nations, we don't think about this with our children. We just think that we're going to have some grandkids. We don't think that our children are going to become nations of their own. But he's looking at his children. He's been promised to God, you'll be the father of many nations. And that means these sons from Ishmael and Isaac to all these are all going to become nations. And they all can't live here in the backyard. Otherwise, we're going to have war. And they're even with that being done, the Midianites are going to overrun Israel, and there is going to be war anyhow. But that's just kind of interesting to see that the things that he's thinking about and having to deal with, being that wealthy, that successful, that blessed. Verse 7, altogether Abraham lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years. And he was gathered to his people. His sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, and that's the one that he bought. That's where Sarah's buried. We still know where that's at today. Near Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite. He bought that from the Hittites. He purchased that. The field Abraham had bought from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with his wife, Sarah. After Abraham's death, God blessed his son, Isaac, who then lived near Beer Lahai, or Lehi Roy. Again, if here's the Dead Sea, here's Beersheba in this area, here's Hebron. We're going down this way. He's down here in the Negev, below the Dead Sea. That's where Isaac is going to live. He's going to be looking for wells, digging wells is going to become an issue here. But it is worth noting that for the burial, Ishmael and Isaac both are together. And this is the last record of them being together. Ishmael, who had gone further south and moved towards the east himself, has come back for his father's funeral. Verse 12, this is the account, or again, the toledot of Abraham's son, Ishmael. Again, that word, the account, this is the written document of Abraham's son, Ishmael. Again, you've got to get in your mind, these guys are writing stuff down. They're not just legends. They're keeping track of whose property is whose. Even when Abraham bought that field there for the burial, they had a document that was written up. A Hittite document was written up. And a lot of these are going to be passed down. And when Moses begins to put together the history, he's probably working from documents, putting things together, including this toledot or this written account of Ishmael's sons. This is the account of Abraham's son Ishmael, whom Sarah's maidservant Hagar, the Egyptian, bore to Abraham. Verse 13, these are the names. Here we go. Here's some more names. But again, it's important because it's interesting. These are the names of the sons of Ishmael listed in the order of their birth. Oh boy. Nebaioth, the firstborn of Ishmael. Kedar, Abiel, Mibsim, Mishma, Duma, Mesa, Masa. Hey, I'll say it two or three ways. Hadad, Tema, Geter, Naphish, Kadima. Okay, sorry, that's really embarrassing. Verse 16, these were the sons of Ishmael, and these are the names of the 12 tribal rulers. Notice he's got 12 sons. according to their settlements and camps. Altogether, Ishmael, this is his whole document, lived 137 years. He breathed his last and died, and he was gathered to his people. His descendants settled in the area from Havilah to Shur, near the border of Egypt, as you go towards Ashur. And they lived in hostility towards all of their brothers. They lived in hostility. So they are down here living further south, down next border, next to where Isaac's crop or Isaac's cattle are grazing. And they lived in hostility. They were trying to get territory and keep people out of their territory themselves. And that is the description of, the second description of the descendants of Ishmael living in hostility towards all their brothers, which was prophesied in chapter 16, verse 12, that is what they would do. Chapter 9, verse 19 of chapter 25, I'm going to introduce this, then we'll pick this up next week.
All their brothers mean?
I think they would all be descendants of Ishmael. And I think he had a wife that Hagar found, and the impression, I think, is that they all came from that wife, that Egyptian wife that she had. So again, these boys right here, they are part, or all the descendants of Ishmael, they're half Egyptian because his wife was Egyptian.
Not necessarily referring to the Jewish race, just the family of Ishmael.
Right, exactly, yep. Chapter 25, verse 19, this is the account. Again, there's your word, toledot, another written document. So this now, if you had scrolls, in my mind, if you had scrolls or parchment, this would be a new document right here. And now we're going to begin talking about Jacob and Esau and the next account right here. This is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, goes through, and you're going to end up, Isaac's going to pray for his wife to become pregnant, and you're going to have the two nations that are going to come from Isaac through Jacob and Esau. So there we have it. I'm going to pray, and we are done for this evening. We'll be back in the text full force next week, and I won't be reading any articles about people anymore. I won't do that every week. Okay, I'm going to pray, and we're done. Father, we do thank you so much for the chance to study. We thank you for your word that is before us. And we do ask that we may hear these things, that we may recognize your voice, that you'd continue to put your word in our hearts, that we would, again, have the strength and the nutrition in our souls to be conformed in the image of Christ. Father, I do ask that we would become a people that is true to your name, true to your word, that we are reaching out to others, that we are assisting others, that we are demonstrating the love of God in the things we do and the things we say. But we do ask, Father, that we would definitely be able to know you and have your nature, your character be part of our lives. Again, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this chance to meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any emails can be sent to gw@generationword.com.